And the reading for this morning is taken from the second letter of Peter, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Mark.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to gather together and worship you, to receive, hear, respond to your word. And Lord, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would speak into our hearts and minds, and you will allow us to catch hold of those particular things that you want to say to us for our lives. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, it's great to be with you again. You are being prayed for as a church. I lead Kairos Church, and one of the things that we've been doing very regularly since before Francis moved on is praying for St. Andrew's as you entered and go through a time of significant transition and movement, and our prayers will continue for you as this process goes on. But do be encouraged, people are praying for you, and you are part of a wider work of God that's going on throughout this town and area and these villages around here. And just that, you know, God is doing his work and he can be trusted. Sometimes we make assumptions, don't we? Some of them are safe assumptions, like England will give away a goal in the last minute of the match and probably not score many more goals in the tour. I don't know. It's safe to say some assumptions. There are some assumptions that we make about church. We can assume, actually, I found this, that we can assume that just because I'm comfortable in a certain situation in church, that everyone else is going to be comfortable in that. And then you meet somebody and you think, oh, they weren't very comfortable with that. And you realise that your assumptions are slightly wrong. And that's a very human thing to do, isn't it? There are other assumptions we make, like, you know, I know exactly where 2 Peter 1 verses 1 to 11 are in a Bible and can find my way to them. But then I meet up with someone who has no idea, and I help them to find that place. Sometimes our assumptions are excessive. Sometimes we can assume that everyone knows what it means to grow in Christ, because that's the title we've got for this for this sermon this morning. But actually, that's quite an assumption in itself. Sometimes we can assume that everyone is a much better Christian than we are, and then we find out that they're just as bad as us. There are all sorts of assumptions that we make. And I found myself having those kind of assumptions exposed a bit as I reflected on this passage in 2 Peter. And maybe what it did was it raised this question, well, why would I want to grow in Christ? And I found myself asking that question, why would I want to grow? You know, I make an assumption that I do want to grow, but actually some of my behaviour tells me I don't really want to grow at all. And I began to feel a little bit challenged by this assumption that I was making. I'm a professional Christian, so I assume I should be growing in Christ. Well, you know, there are actually ways in which I'm not growing in Christ. And I began to hear the Holy Spirit speaking into my life and challenging me again to, Mark, are you wanting to grow in your relationship with Jesus? And I want to throw that question at you this morning. What are your assumptions about growing in Christ? Are you just assuming that somehow you're going to grow in Christ? Or are you prepared, like I am finding that I'm having to be prepared to say to the Lord, Lord, teach me again. Show me your way. Help me to understand. And so I've approached this passage looking for reasons why we might want to grow in Christ, why we might want to grow in faith and in relationship with him, and I found it very encouraging. I think there are four reasons why we might want to grow in Christ. Firstly, because, verse 3, we have everything we need. We have everything we need. It's a strong assertion in there that Peter makes. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Now, that's a pretty good reason to continue to grow in Christ. The problem is that I find in myself that I tend to act out of fear very often, and not so much out of faith. I tend to fear that I'm not going to have quite enough. I have a kind of poverty mentality when it comes to God, that in him I won't have quite enough. And I find that very challenging. I need to live more in faith than fear, more in the knowledge that in him I have everything I need. You may find as a church at this stage that you feel like, well, you're lacking a bit. In Christ, you're not lacking anything. You have everything you need. And that's a really good reason to continue to grow in relationship with Christ. You have everything you need in him. Secondly, again, verse 3, there's this idea of being purposefully called. He has called us by his own glory and goodness. You aren't an accident. We're not accidents. We're called and we're set aside because of God's goodness. So often I've met up with people and come across people who kind of feel a bit like they're in accidents, or that they're a bit surplus to requirements, or they're not really kind of necessary to God. And God has purposefully called us. He has chosen us. I love that bit in John 15 where Jesus talks about them being called and appointed, or chosen and appointed, to bear fruit that will last. And there's something amazing about that, you know, that you and I, we are actually appointed and called and chosen. And it's for fruitfulness. He's very, very purposeful, God is, and he has chosen each one of us. He's purposeful about us. Lewis Smedes once said, many of us feel shame not for our too badness, but for our not good enoughness. We sometimes just feel like we're not good enough. And God says, you are good enough. I love you. I choose you. I'm purposeful about you. You're mine. And when he says you're mine, it means he can do something with you. And I find that very encouraging, don't you? Good. Glad to see some nods there. Thirdly, we've been given promises. There's another good reason to continue to grow in Christ, that we've been given promises. It's a very brief reference, this is, but I found it very interesting kind of doing some thinking about it. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And I found myself thinking, well, so Peter, just enlarge a bit on these promises, please. And he doesn't. He just refers to these precious promises. And it led me to think, well, what are the promises? And to do a little bit of internal thinking and looking through the Bible and looking at different promises and things like that. And I've just come to the conclusion, I may be wrong, let me just try this on you. I think three areas of promises came to mind for me. There's a future promise. There's a sense that our eternal destiny in Christ has been sorted out. You know, our future is okay. It's in his hands. You know, we've got a promise to us which says, you're going to be with me forever, Jesus is saying. And that's a fantastic thing, isn't it? You can live in that and enjoy that sense of future promise. There's a past promise with the forgiveness of sins. You know, nothing that you've done in the past, as you bring it to Christ, is going to be left unforgiven. He forgives. That means you can come to him knowing that all that past, all that stuff that might hold us back, and sometimes we find that there's still stuff that holds us back. As we bring it to him, God does something with it. And he moves in reconciliation and forgiveness and love in our lives. So there's a promise of the past, in a sense, not holding us back. And thirdly, there's a present promise that we get to live the life of the Spirit. God's help now. And as we live in those, well, precious and great promises, so our lives are transformed and the lives around us are transformed. I mean, these are all very good reasons to continue to grow in Christ. And finally, we get to participate, to partake in the old language, in the divine nature. We get to take part in God's work. Now, there's a fantastic thing. That's one of the things that really grabs me. I just want to be part of what God's doing, because God is doing some amazing things. And I get to be invited to be part of that, to participate in the work of the divine nature. And Peter joins that to God's rescuing the world from corruption. It's like, as we participate in the work of God, so the corruption of the world is battered and defeated and destroyed, because Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one. We get to participate in this. This is the joy of being a follower of Christ, that we get to be part of all that he's doing in the world. God is at work and we get to join him. And those reasons make me want to continue to grow in Christ. Those things that are just four things persuade me once more to continue in my relationship with Christ, to grow in him. And I want to encourage you to do that. Peter is very helpful in this, and he says, here's a way to respond. Well, he doesn't quite say that, but that's my paraphrase of him. And he talks about, make every effort to add to your faith. In other words, he's saying there's a basic kind of content of faith that we've got and just make every effort to add some things to it. That's growing in Christ. Add the following ingredients, he's saying, really. And the ingredients are listed: goodness, knowledge, self-control, godliness, mutual affection, love. Other translations translate it in different ways. The Message, Eugene Peterson says, so don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love. He's saying there's just a number of things that you can add in to the mix to make this a growing thing. You've got the basics in place, folks. If you said yes to Jesus and you're following him, then you've got the basic faith and content there that God can do something. But your partnership with him is that you might add something. I wonder what you might add today. It might be that you just add a little bit of love. And you say, okay, today what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go to find someone and share a bit of love with them. It might be an act of kindness. It might be a kind word. It might be, a whole range of things. And it might be that you just add that today. That is growing in Christ. You might say, okay, there's another area I might want to develop, which is in my spiritual understanding. I'm going to just set aside a little bit more time today, 20 minutes, where I'm going to spend a bit of time reading the Bible. And I'm going to add that and ask God to speak to me through that today. Add a little bit of spiritual understanding. God, I'm here and I'm waiting for you to speak into my life, is what you're saying in that. And that's another way of growing in faith. Growing in Christ, growing in your relationship with him. Growing in Christ is about small steps. It's not giant leaps. It's about asking God which ingredient needs adding to your basic faith and doing something about it. That's what Peter's saying very simply here. What are you going to add to your basic faith at the moment so that you grow in Christ? And you know, it's all about saying to God, what next, Lord? What next? What next in my life, Lord? What next do you want to do? That's growing in Christ. Are you prepared to continue to ask that question? If that's the case, then you're going to continue to grow in Christ. Okay? Yeah? I think it's a good question to ask. Let's just take a moment and pray, and we're going to ask that question of the Lord now. Okay? So this is a moment for you and God. As you bring yourself before God in this moment, say to him, what next, Lord? Now, I don't want to alarm you, but that's a very dangerous prayer to pray. So I'm going to ask God to help us. Holy Spirit, come. Help us to hear you about the what next in our lives, that we may grow in you. Show us the particular ingredients to add to our basic faith. Lord, we want to grow. help us, Lord, to continue to say in our lives, what next? Amen.